GWA repeater. This is BWA 2 GWA repeater link at K2PM.R. WA repeater link at K2PM.R. This is BWA 2 GWA repeater.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Tonight at 8:30, W2VL repeater system.
Welcome to the W18GM repeater system.
W18EM.
NY2H, KB2DPD.
Saturday and Sunday, where it's like 8 o'clock. I know.
degrees over here, so thank God it was. So how was your weekend?
A tough couple of years, rain the last
last couple, but this one turned out real nice. We had to enjoy it. Went up with as few as 5 amps and as many as 15 one year. And just a lot of motorcycle riding. When you park them at night, a lot of beer and chips and dips and so forth. And really, a lot of pretty scenery to get up around Lake Placid. They're beautiful. And over into Vermont, the covered bridges and so forth. And then we used to demo as many of the expensive machines we could afford. WA1ATM.
The time is 4:59 a.m.
Hey, well, you're up
5-6 miles north. There were actually some bikes down in Saratoga, and Saratoga's 24 miles south of the village. And then left over towards Warrensburg. And there's not a lot of room. And a lot of the folks did, just camp out. But we'd call early. And that we used to book the same place up at Diamond Point. And book 5-6 rooms, depending on who's going. Stayed right at the village once with the Blue Knights at the Georgian, which was one of the classic places right in town. And that made it really easy. You could drink all you want, walk to town, you're a block from the center. And I remember that night, XJM and I did that. Left the bike and said, nah, we're not getting on the motorcycle, we're just going to walk downtown. WA1ATS. all the vendors in the flea market and so forth. So if you wanted chrome, you wanted a new rate.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
Whatever you want, as long as you had a credit card in the fixed area. WA18. And when you're trying to do the math, and makes the mortgage payments, it just doesn't work. WA1AC.
Yeah, I know in the early 90s, we almost bought some rental property up in York Beach, Maine. Just couldn't cut the terms of the prices for people. I mean, I did all the research as far as what the rental income would be, you know, what the mortgage would be, taxes, you know, all that other stuff, and found that I could probably about even a long time ago. Now it would have been a income producing thing, but it takes a long time, you know, for that return on it. Like you say, if Bob had owned it, you know, that's a good head start.
Actually, a lot of the places up there are like that. We used to stay when I was a kid at a place called Shore Meadows Motel, right in the village, the north end. And the mother and father owned it and ran it. And they got elderly, and the son took it over, and he's still running it. So, you know, he didn't have to buy it. They gave it to him. And he can make a living out of it. But, yeah, that's a tough business, 7 days a week, from June 1st to October 1st. And then, you know, pretty much dies. Might as well go to your winter home in Florida, but you didn't make enough money doing it. And, of course, now a lot of the newer, they used to be very quaint, and all the hotels were mom and pop. But now all the chains are in there, and everybody's looking for the amenities, you know.
That's the thing that the off-peak, you know, to try to keep very demanding. They don't want the mom and pop, you know, they're at the lake, they want the swimming pool, high-speed internet.
Those up there now, you know, all the chains are there. But then you still got the mom and pop with, you know, the 24-inch or 30-inch flat screen TV, and they don't have an indoor pool. Why would you need a pool? You're on the lake, etc. See, we stayed at the Saratoga Casino Hotel over the weekend, and boy, what a nice facility that is. Had a king room, and the young lady that I talked to upgraded us to the better one. Man, the room was huge. Like you say, you got your 5-foot TV. Open up the window and overlook the practice track with the trotters out there. Down below us was the enclosed swimming pool and whirlpool, hot tub kind of thing. And then, of course, you know, you walk out of the lobby and you're into the casino. We actually brought some money back, not theirs, but ours. WA1AC.
Why don't you came back for something? I guess that's it's not all that far. Well, checked out. I could have not been up there. Oh boy.
CL is 141.3W18EN. Repeat.
QZ. Very good morning to you, Dave. How are you?
Not bad. I just wanted to do a quick transfer here. I'm on the mic.
Copy, no scratch. A little light on the audio, but that's to be expected if you're using an HD. Over.
I need to get my mic and headphones.
Solid copy. You're holding it. Where are you?
I just went over 691.
Pretty slow. Well, that's great. Well, see, if you were up at Americade, the motorcycle rally, they probably would have had the headset and the push-to-talk and anything you wanted right there. They were always glad to sell us radio accessories. Go ahead, Glenn, pick it up. WA1AC.
Morning, Dave. W1AC. Just coming by the Otis headquarters here in Farm Springs. Channel 30 set up to do the live broadcast. Big news this morning, Raytheon merging. WNJC, how are you doing?
Hey,
good morning,
Gary. John, I'm still looking on the site. I already ordered the headset microphone. I ordered it from Canada. So, what did you guys throw up on the locker?
Good copy, 100%, David. Just a little light on the audio, and the boom mic should solve that for you. Very good. Yeah, that was always the big kick. You know, the Gullwing motorcycles always came with the AM/FM CB stereo. So you always had the full mic in the helmet and the headset. But then they'd make an interface box where you could interface the second radio and whatever else you wanted. So a lot of us went with a collinear antenna and put some meters on the bike wall. So it was fun. Enjoyed it. Miss the camaraderie. Don't miss there. The crazy people trying to cut you off and kill you, but we just have a good time. WA1AES, up to you, what?
WA1AJ. One and Howard. 73 did. I'm talking to the right place. One and Howard. That's what I'm doing.
Fuck that.
More than I can. Well, shoot. I've got a call from my brother. I will get back to you, folks. Sorry about that. WA1AMJ.
But I say we're crawling at about 20 north of 691 here. And that'd be that same tie up you were talking about, Glenn. Well, Glenn, if you want to go up there, let me know. I got all the information. I can give you the link to our guide. It's got all of the RV parks and so forth listed. But they tell me the Lake George RV Park is very nice, and it's walking distance to the base of the lake, Fort William Henry, all that kind of stuff.
WA1AES. Yeah, I've seen their website. Yeah, they have some video. Ooh, squirrel just, so it's not a squirrel, but you made it across the road. Decided to stop halfway and run back to across the road, but you made it.
Yeah. Had a chuckle. Yeah, I'm sure that's probably a little pricey, yeah, Lake George RV, because it is so convenient and so easy to walk into the village and so forth. Hearthstone, the state campground, is up maybe 2.5 miles north of the village. A little bit too far to walk, but they do have a shuttle. They got a shuttle bus that runs constantly from Bolton down through Diamond Point, past the state campground and into the village, and then south from there down all the way down to Great Escape, which back in the old days was called Story Town. WA1AES.
Sometimes it's nice if you don't have to drive it. You know, if you can just leave your car parked and then pick the trolley or whatever they got running around. In cases like that, I've got quitters like that, find a parking spot and take the trolley around.
No, just like Glenn said, for whatever reason, we were down to 20 miles an hour, and we're doing 65 coming past West Street. So for don't know what they're doing. It must have been that crazy squirrel or one of his cousins. Yeah, we've done it all. You know, when we had the kids, we stayed right at the north end of the village, and three blocks, you were in the center of town, and that was convenient. They had an outdoor pool, they had the lake, they had a snack bar, they had a bar, and you couldn't ask for more. It was a little two-room unit, not that classy, but mom and dad could have their own room, connecting toilet into two twin beds for the kids in the other room, gave you a little privacy, and we did that. We stayed at the Georgian, which is the classy joint, without the kids. There's a couple of more, but you know, other years we stayed up at Bolton Landing, which is like, 8 miles north of the village. A little quieter. Of course, now it's been found. They restored the 1930s hotel there, and the New Jersey, New York crowd has found it. So, Sagamore, there you go, the brain kicked in. But a nice area. It'd be worth a look. Like you say, Glenn, it's only about 160-mile ride. Great day, and start thinking about the next trip. Wife and I are making the final plans for the jump to see my son and his fiance down in Orlando. But gotta be crazy to go to Orlando in July. WA1AES. Howard, I'm here going by Queen Street at about 6.
Blair, you're bringing back all kinds of memories of Lake George. Bolton Landing, we used to put the boat in right there at Tall Walls Marina and look at the Sagamore as we headed out to the island. KB1AV in and out. I'll see you later. I got to run here, but I'll listen out for a minute. KB1AV, good morning.
Good morning, WA1ATS. Yeah, we rented boats here at Diamond Point, and there's a little marina, Gilchrist, I think. I dropped my boat in there. I love the lake. Look, we should have bought a place up there instead of having kids, but oh well.
Yeah, a little too late for that. Yeah, we used to go up there twice a year. We'd camp on the island. And I think we'd camp on all the islands. We used to take the boat all the way up to the big rock up on the left. I mean, I spent a lot of time up there. Way too much time up there, but it's been probably, well, see, I've been at ESPN 30 years now. It's been 30 years since I've been there. So, it was a great place way back then.
Sure.
I got to grab my stuff and get the truck. Good morning, KB180.
Great place on the lake, a little honky and a little commercial in the village. 73, WA18. I think we're doing about 45 and 50 up here. I don't know where everybody's going or what's up, but slow go coming up on 72.
Morning, Charlie. KGKND. Richie. Looks like we had a pretty good turnout yesterday.
Yeah, we tried to be a little better about getting an accurate count about how, you know, as how many people were actually there. And it's well over 300 total. You know, we include vendors, obviously, because they're also buyers. You know, they go around and buy a lot of stuff. But, you know, well over 300, maybe approaching 350. So it was a good night. Good turnout, great weather. Good vendors, you know, very appreciative of that. And I think I have a bad sunburn on my face. I'm bad that way. I should wear a hat, and I totally forgot.
You know, yeah, a lot of people do this time of year. Definitely want to have some protection. I usually keep packets in my car of sunscreen. I'll go to the range, and sometimes there'll be some, you know, young girls trailing around with some shooters, and they're stark white, and they're going to get burnt, so I'll hand them out.
Yeah, my daughter's always insisting on putting on sunblock and things like that, and I really should. But, yesterday, I'm just trying to think, I think I had actually put the hat on the side, and then when I walked out, I forgot it. I also had two mag mount antennas that I wanted to bring, and I forgot to bring those. But anyway, it really worked out well. It's funny because you can't exactly say that area is an enclosed area, you know, but people are generally good. Nobody tried to get into the open areas. They all waited online patiently, so it was good. It was good.
No, it's not the kind of crowd that would lend itself to that kind of behavior, I guess. But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I think there was some really good stuff there. Some people had mentioned to me how many radios they saw for sale as opposed to times when we've had some really weird stuff. Generally good merchandise. And that helps, you know. And then, of course, if people had a good time and they did well, then that bodes well for the next outdoor ham fest. The indoors are a little more secure. We're limited in space. But the outdoor, it's good to get a lot of people coming down and just bringing down stuff that they want to get out of. In fact, one guy told me that, one of the vendors told me he bought some stuff from one of the guys, and the guy just had to clear stuff out. He didn't care what he got for it. Some of the stuff was very valuable. Didn't care. Had to just get rid of it and give people some really good bargains.
Oh, it's always good when something like that happens and, you know, makes everybody that much more hungry for the next event to finally maybe find a good deal. I passed up on some stuff that I really didn't need. I've got enough that I don't have to take every good deal that's out there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good to have a purpose. I mean, some people just look at something and say, wow, that's unique, I need to have that. But, you do have to be careful with that. And I can only tell you my house is full of items like that. I said, I could use that, I could use that. In fact, I'm looking at the number of HTs. I think I have 7 HTs. It's crazy. I don't use them all at the same time. I don't use them all, you know. I have my favorites and I use that. So somewhere along the lines, I'll have to make some concession on that also.
That's the problem I'm running into right now. It's like, you know, I got a good HF rig and VHF, UHF, and one for the car. And I decided I wanted to get rid of the Bofangs and get some real HTs. And I started collecting them. Now I have probably 5 of them now. And like you said, you don't need them. But they're different. You know, they do have differences to them. And one has a GPS and APRS. And, you know, you start getting hooked on the extras.
Yeah, and there's so many different things. Like, at one point, I did have APRS operating out of the house, and then he said, you know, what am I telling somebody? What the weather is? Well, I guess I'm telling them what the weather is in Old Bethpage or something like that, but it really didn't make a lot of sense. And then you have so many different modes. I had D-Star, and with the D-Star, the voice quality is good, but you're getting up and, you know, instead of talking to somebody local on their way to work, I'm talking to a guy up in Orange County or further north. One, you know, in fact, I think one case was a guy on his way to Albany on his way to work. And I mean, look, it's okay, but local communication is local. You get used to the people that you're talking to. So, yeah, it's so many different things, so you just have to make your choices here and there.
100%. Like, I have a DVRHT, and I, you know, it was interesting in the beginning, and I built a little Raspberry Pi for a little DB4 Mini, and I was playing with that, and then I just got, I had had enough of it. I took it out a little while ago and was playing with it. I'm like, you know, it's really not a mode that I'm really that interested in.
Yeah, I missed part of what you said. If that was the DMR or with the dongle. But that's good if you're traveling outside of the area and you know that if you're tuned into the Grandmeister that you can come back and talk to people that you know in New York as opposed to struggling to find some contact on the way down. So it's got its advantages there. But like anything else, even in our area, it's as quiet as any of the other repeaters might be.
It's like anything. When it's new, you know, everybody's excited about it and they're going to try it out. But, you know, I enjoy talking to club members on a repeater system. And HF, I enjoy. I'm more of a rag chewer than interested. You know, I'll jump on some contacts occasionally if it's a country I haven't talked to before. But, you know, I'm not a contester by any means.
K2KNB. Yeah, and when I got back into radio, I was actually doing more of the special events than the DX. So I had some rationalization for that. But then as the DX began to mount, as you say, I'd look for some place that I hadn't worked before or something that came up on the DX spot. But I haven't made a significant DX contact in quite a while. But I do have an antenna problem that I have to get resolved perhaps this week. The rad chewing is fine also. And hey, look, you learn a lot. You know, I've had some good conversations with some stations up in Canada learning about their environment. And there's one doctor that I spoke to, you know, he actually made house calls.
Well, I'm sure there's still a lot of that going on around the country. I mean, everybody's not as built up as we are. KD2KNH. But, yeah, it's just like we were discussing yesterday. It's like there's just so many different ways you can go in, you know, even the digital modes and HF. I mean, I'll jump into them once in a while, but I like talking to the people.
Yeah, it's definitely fun. I didn't have a chance to look at everything that Roy put out on the 3D printers, but that's pretty amazing what that can do. I mean, I guess just leave it at that. It's pretty amazing some of the items that he had there.
Absolutely. I was talking to him for a little while. He was showing me all the interactive items he had made that, you know, just really neat the way technology is going. And in another, who knows how long, to be made out of metal, you know.
Yeah, actually trying to figure an application for ham radio, and that was a little harder to find, actually.
And always get plastic molds that you need on Amazon. Oh, I'm getting
$4.95. Yeah, wherever you are now, Charlie, you're breaking up.
Parked right underneath the $4.95 overpass, so I'm kind of blocked in.
Yeah, that was okay. It must have been just as you entered it, you began breaking up. But, you know, I think Dr. Roy was actually saying, you know, what would be an amateur radio application for it. And, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But some of the objects, the scale and everything, pretty amazing.
Coming from a manufacturing background, yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, just think of being able to render something in plastic, you know, when you design it first before it's going off to be milled or machined.
Yeah, I imagine that's a tremendous plus when you take, let's say, architectural drawings, even great 3D drawings on the computer, but now you can take those drawings and convert them into a real model of a home or a landscape or something like that. pretty amazing. I wonder also, because I'm not that familiar with it, but I assume that you can do multicolor, that you can, in one step, build something, put a foundation of one color, and then put something on top of it, bond it to it in another color. But, you know what, I'll probably look at some YouTube, get a better feel for that, but it was pretty amazing.
WB2CSC. Recognized. Yeah, that's really interesting. Imagine if they have multiple colors and you could actually make, like you said, architectural renderings. Well, I'm going to say good morning and goodbye because I'm just pulling into my office. But, gentlemen, have a good day. Thanks to the company, Rich. KD2KH clear, 73.
All right, Charlie, 73. Have a great day. Not sure who was in there.
Yeah, hello, Charlie. Goodbye, Charlie. WB2CSC. I gotta figure out tomorrow's probably a no-go.
You talking about for you being up there at Glen Oaks?
No, they don't need me up there, but they don't need thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah, I saw part of that. Yeah, of course, that would be a problem. I couldn't believe how chilly it was this morning. Maybe I did hear the temperature, that it was going to be down in the 50s or something, but it was kind of chilly. All right, so another day, another dollar, what can I say?
No, not too much. Well, anyway, made the one stop in Nassau, just heading into the office, and I see my guide has changed the route that I'm taking.
Okay, when I left yesterday, I had got dropped off at my house, and then we went to an engagement party, and so I guess we left here 2:30, 20 to 3, something like that, and it was amazing that still for no reason traffic backed up on the expressway in the Willis Avenue area, but it's just such a crazy highway. Long Island is such crazy highways. Nothing's good on Long Island when it comes to roadways.
Yeah, I had to scoot out of there, but how did things go?
Yeah, I think Jerry and some of the guys stayed until well after 5. So in fact, Jerry came over when I got back home. But it was nice. It was nicely done, and nice turnout. So, sad, but a good day.
Yep, that's true. Well, so we'll see. Anyway, I'm just starting to put my windshield wipers on. It's starting to drizzle a little bit.
I'm not happy to hear that. I didn't put away everything that came back to my house yesterday. My tent tent's probably a waterproof cover on it. But, I thought this morning when I went out, I mean, I honestly thought it was going to be raining, but then I realized that when I put back one of the misters for one of the gardens, I turned it sideways, and so I was wetting the deck. It was kind of funny when you think it's raining out there, but you actually just turned the sprinkler system on incorrectly.
Oops.
Now, that's... messed up my whole day. What can I tell you? KTKNB.
Not a whole heck of a lot. WB2ZOC. We're about a week to 2 weeks out from the kids being out of school.
I didn't catch that. You're 2 weeks out from Poughkeepsie? Is that what you said?
No, I said I see we're about a week to 2 weeks out from the kids being out of school.
Oh, my God, the kids being out of school sounded like Poughkeepsie. Oh, my God, all right. You know, what are you going to do when you get older?
That's all right, I'm used to it. I get the same thing at home.
Yeah, that's okay. I get that with my wife, you know, because we both really need to go for hearing aids. So you get, what? What'd you say? What? Who are you talking to? I was talking to the dog. What?
Yeah, well... life is like that.
Yeah, it does look overcast, and it does look like rain is in our future.
Well, that's what they've been saying.
Anyway, and one of these days they're supposed to come to cut down the two trees that are in front of my house, which the town planted, but they're really ugly trees. But it's such a procedure. They come, they cut them down, then I have to wait for them to come and grind the stumps, and then when that's done, I have to go and file for permits to repair the sidewalk that I have to repair because they're removing the trees, and that's going to be a pain in the neck.
Well, it's never a dull moment.
Well, I hope the saws are sharp.
Yeah, that reminds me, I got one out in front of the house that has to come down. It's a biggie, probably about 50 feet. But half of it's been coming down over the last year or two from the storms anyway.
At your curb or on your property?
In the middle of the lawn.
Yeah, not so cheap taking down trees anymore. I don't know if you looked at the big one that's actually on my neighbor's property. And originally when the guy who was flipping the house came, he asked me if I would contribute. He said it's, he got an estimate of $1,500, where I contributed, you know, some money. I said, yeah, you know, because it's to my advantage. I'm a little scared about one of those branches coming down on my house. So, guy comes up to, you know, pulls up to the house with the tree cutting equipment, takes a look at the tree, packs up again and leaves. So when I saw the builder, I said, what's the problem? He said, and the guy looked at the tree, he goes, no, not $1,500, $3,500. He said, and the flipper said, no, I'm not doing it. But can you imagine $3,500? And these same neighbors had another tree on the other side of the house that came down during Hurricane, I think it was Sandy, rather than Irene, I don't remember. But because now it was leaning against the house and they had to bring in an overhead crane, $10,000.
You gotta love it.
Or go into the business if you don't mind climbing trees, not so bad. All right, anyway, let me sign with you and work here. So I will catch you later. WB2ZSE, K2KMB.
WB2ZSE.
Switch you on the frequency. must be swimming in the pool. Catch you later. 82AKF.
Morning, John. N2EO.
This is N2's SUC mobile listeners.
Morning, Ron. N2EO. How are you?
A little cold, but other than that, I'm doing fine. How about you? Looks like rain soon, huh?
Yes, possibly. I just woke up, and the aide that's here, very nice fella, he gave me a bed bath and I'm up. With the bed weight, I was on the tech then, and they stop at 12.
That was a good couple of hours, huh?
That's the Reebok. I always love the tech that I wait all week. Dick Data was very good. That other fellow, boy, H-E-G-2-S, he's very interesting.
And Dick's been doing that for quite a few years.
Yes, Dick has been doing it, I think, about 30 years. He once said on the tech that there have been more tech nets that he's run than Johnny Carson was on TV.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a labor of love for him. And I love it too. Everybody loves the tech net. So how you doing, Ron? You heading to the pool?
I went to the gym. I went shopping. I got a trunk full of groceries heading home.
All right, very good. Honeydews.
And I got the shopping list, check it twice. And I threw in a couple of things that I like. You like macaroons? I like the ones covered in chocolate, but they didn't have those. They had, they call them, spritzel or something, swizzle, with just chocolate on the bottom. But I think they're high in cholesterol, but I can't resist buying them.
Yeah, well, you know, everything in moderation. If it's high in cholesterol, it's okay. Just don't eat too much. Everything in moderation is A-okay.
Well, one thing, I have self-control. I can have one and not three.
That's okay. You eat the whole box. Potato chips, you know.
You know, especially something that you like, it's hard to stop, but I could stop.
All right. You know, I like to smoke. In fact, I'm having a cigarette as I'm speaking. It's very hard to stop. I know it's no good for me. I stopped for 1 year, but then I went back. I've been smoking since I'm about 15 years old, so you know, it's part of me.
That's a long time. I hope your lungs don't take a beating for it.
My doctor said when he checks with the stethoscope, it doesn't crackle. Usually they crackle because I don't know why. He said I don't have that. And the x-rays, I don't know if they're black or what, but they say I'm okay. For now.
They've had something on TV now about the e-cigarettes, some of them go on fire, and vaping, that's not good, and I don't know if you wanted to try any of that, but it doesn't sound good either.
I tried vaping, and when Patty was here, she also tried vaping. It's not a real substitute. You really miss the cigarettes. And I tried the patch, the gum, I tried everything. And the only real thing is a cigarette. So, you know, when you're locked into things, I wish I never started, but you know, in those days, nobody cared, there were no wars, no nothing. Today, do you know the war says you have to be 21 before you can buy a pack of cigarettes, just like drinking.